We'd like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Welcome again, Marty. Good to be back with you again.
Well, today, Bill, we're continuing on the life of Robert Morrison. And if you recall, the last couple times we considered how he was one of many that began to respond to the Lord's calling and carrying out of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And he consecrated himself, and he became one of the Lord's followers, or even an ambassador, to go forth. He went forth to China. And we know that he, along with others, were influenced by the testimony of some that went before them, like the Moravians, and how the Lord also worked in the arrangement and the world situation leading up to that time. And there was quite a burden that rose up in many of, especially in the college age, to respond to the Lord's calling. Even they had a motto. They said, China should be for Christ and in this generation. So there was not only a burden, but even an urgency to begin to respond to the Lord's calling. So last time we saw that Robert Morrison, of course, he hoped to go out with others, but eventually he had to followed the Lord's leading, and he even went by himself. And we mentioned that he went out in the midst of many difficulties, not only in his traveling, but even upon his arrival, his lodging, the environment, and the persecution that he encountered. And maybe one of the most difficult things was just learning the Chinese language. Well, if you recall, Bill, that one way that was afforded to Robert Morrison to stay there in China was by gaining employment. And he actually, not only was he serving the Lord with a good portion of his time, but he also was working as a translator for the East India Company, which was a trading company between England and China. So he was working there together with him, and on his free time, he would be working to translate the Bible, which was his real burden. But this became very controversial. In fact, the country of China issued this edict saying that there should be no publishing of any religious documents in their country. So Robert was really under scrutiny, and his company knew that he was doing this on the side. And so eventually they wanted to cause his publishing, or his work with them, to stop. So really, Bill, he was like one of the apostles at the Lord's time, that he did suffer. And the of course, we know the enemy Satan was the one behind the scenes, who really hated that the Word of God would be released to any nation. And in Morrison's case, it was to the Chinese at that time. And so, of course, Morrison was not wrestling against blood and flesh, but against these principalities. But the principalities were using men on the earth, and they were endeavoring to stop any further light that would be coming forth from the Scriptures, and they didn't want any light to be diffused through the gospel. So at that time, they tried to stop Morrison from the publishing of these Chinese New Testaments.
Right.
And so his company, the East India Company, eventually they informed him that he no longer could continue in their employment. So this was a little suffering to Robert Morrison, and this was a situation he encountered after he had been working with them for a while.
He was an extraordinary, persevering pioneer to go over there in 1807 by yourself in a country that was very reluctant for anyone to publish any Christian literature by the Chinese government. And not only so, eventually his biographers tell us that even those who printed his Christian materials, his New Testament, they were also afraid of the Chinese government. And The printers even, they added more difficulty to Morrison. They destroyed these valuable Bible printing blocks,
right,
that Morrison was using to publish the New Testament in the Chinese language. And that was an incredible loss. Can you imagine how many years it would take him to develop those printing blocks? And that was a big setback, because that could be used to print more New Testaments and copies even of the book of Genesis.
Right.
He even had gone into the Old Testament to begin the book of Genesis. So that was a difficult situation there. And like you say, based upon those privations or those hardships in with the East India Company, hardships with the translators, hardships with his printers, eventually Morrison was forced to go to another place and work with his coworker William Milne, as we saw in the last session. They realized that in order to promote the work and keep the work going on, they would have to even move from China into a more peaceful place where they can set up a new base of operation for their work. So they did that. They went to this island or peninsula called Malacca. At that time, today, we call it the Malay Peninsula, the very, very southern tip of the Malay Peninsula, Malacca. And they wanted to establish there a printing center to continue their work. Of course, it was not easy at the beginning. There was a lack of students, but locally, more and more students were gained, and the school began to prosper. And then eventually, more and more Chinese Bibles and Christian literature came off the presses. So this was quite encouraging after a long hardship there. And of course, they not only were burdened to get the Bible into the Chinese language, for it could be read and fully, spread all over. They were also burdened to bring the local Chinese or the local Malaccans to Christ through the gospel.
Right.
So that was also a part of their plan.
I think Robert Morrison and his co-worker William Milne, they had both sides. They had really the sufferings and they had some joys.
Yeah.
As they persevered there. So one of the joys was they began to see a little progress being made in their gospel efforts. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were mostly focused on the literature side and getting the Bible out in the Chinese language and getting out gospel tracts. Mm-hmm. But Morrison, he was encouraged. One time he received word from America that actually a young man from China who was at that time living in New York, he got saved by reading through Morrison's Chinese New Testament.
That must have really been an encouragement, huh?
Really, to come from a whole different side of the world.
Yeah, I mean, what, they couldn't believe it was coming in New York.
That's right. So that encouraged them. And then they also had a couple people there locally that began to turn from idols to serve the living God, and they also were baptized. Of course, this was after Morrison had been there for 10 years.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
They really just faithfully labored. They were definitely restricted as far as being able to go and pass out tracts or preach the gospel. They did have some opportunity, and they did start to see some salvation of the sinners that were being saved. So one time when Morrison was baptizing a new family, he just had a little prayer. He said, "Oh, that this small Christian family may be the means of spreading the truth around them in this pagan land." So he hoped that each one who received Christ and would be saved would also become a seed of the gospel that would further the gospel in this land. So this became a little bit of an encouragement to those who labored, and they caused them also to just press on in their tedious work of translating the rest of the Bible.
Then around, I think, Marty, 1819 or so, of course, that's about 12 years after Morrison went there. Of course, he teamed up with Milne, and they eventually, in 1819, they finished the translation of the entire Bible. Of course, he realized that, you know, it was not perfect. It would probably in the future need to be retranslated, but it was a marvelous job they did. And then they told the London Missionary Society you know, that if Morrison and Milne's Bible shall in China at some subsequent period hold such a place in reference to a better translation as Wycliffe's or Tyndale's now holds in reference to our present English version, they said many will bless God for this attempt. So that was quite good. He was not shocked at receiving criticism for his work of translation, right? And of course, he realized through church history from what happened to Wycliffe and Tyndale, you know, hundreds of years before, that they were martyred, they were condemned, they were burned at the stake,
right,
for translating the scriptures. So he knew he would be in serious trouble. He knew it was a life risk that he was taking, but he was so burdened to get it out. He hoped that, you know, by opening, you know, China, you know, to the Bible and to Christ, that would usher China into a brand new era,
right,
as far as the world situation. And he said, I trust, you know, that gloomy darkness, he called the situation in China a gloomy darkness of pagan skepticism. You know, this is his language.
Yeah.
That would be eliminated or dispelled by, you know, he used, you know, from the book of Luke, the day sprang from on high.
Right.
And that they would deal with all those idols of Buddha and the images, that all of these things will one day, you know, you just fall to the ground, you know, like that, like the Philistine idol Dagon fell, you know, when it was placed overnight before the ark.
Right.
So he prayed. Morrison was amazing, a prayer warrior. He prayed fervently, right? He was quite burdened for the Empire of China, you know, and he wanted, like what the Apostle Paul said, that the word of the Lord would run and be glorified and have a free course. So then, of course, he published, he was also burdened to put out a language dictionary. That publication of the Anglo-Chinese Dictionary was a major, a seminal work by him, and that was completed about 2 years later. So things were progressing little by little.
In the midst of his progress that he was making, he, as you mentioned, he did suffer some criticism and misunderstanding and, of course, continual persecution right there in China where he was. And anyway, this was not the only kind of sufferings that he encountered. And at this time, he began to suffer afflictions of a more personal nature. And that is his wife. She continued to be of ill health. And eventually, she had to return to England with their two children. And she remained there for about 5 years to get restored and improved in her health. But eventually in 1820, she returned. And, you know, the biographies record that they did have a sweet family life together in China there or along the seaside. And eventually his wife, Mary was her name. She, of course, she took care of the children and other responsibilities. But it sounds like she was a real sister in the Lord. She loved to read the Bible and read church history. And anyway, they had a good family life, but eventually this was cut short. And in that June, she had not been back, I think, not even a year. And she took ill again. And I think in spite of all the efforts of her husband and the doctor and their friends, she died there at their home. So this was really a devastating blow to the Lord's servant, Robert Morrison, and his own health began to really suffer because of it. So eventually he had to return his children to England, and he made some arrangements that they also could be raised up in the fear of the Lord and in all wisdom. So anyway, Morrison had to return to his now desolate home to continue his work. And then it was not very long after that he had sorrow upon sorrow when he heard about his co-worker, his fellow laborer there, William Milne. He was also such a zealous worker, and he himself, Milne, lost his wife also, and even two of their children. So you think Milne lost two of his children, and Morrison lost one of his, and they both lost their wives. I think, I don't know, the disease and different things that transpired there in the foreign country to them. So anyway, this was a real suffering to Milne also. And he, of course, he had to take care of. He had another four children that he was under his care. And actually, the biographies say that when Milne would be recording his daily journal from that time, it was often blurred with his tears.
Yeah, wow.
So these brothers really suffered, not only from without, but just real griefs and sufferings from within, from even their own family members. So actually, Robert Morrison ended up adopting one of Milne's children, because Milne himself, eventually, he passed away.
Right.
And actually, at that time, Milne, I checked it out, he was only 37 years old.
Wow.
You know, so anyway, he had four children left, and Morrison adopted one. Apparently, one was named after Robert Morrison, so he adopted him and sent him back to be raised with his own children back in England. So quite a story, quite a suffering these brothers as missionaries that they passed through.
The suffering was just enormous. I don't think we could realize, going back in the 1800s like that in China, what they faced. Of course, he just pressed on. It was amazing, you know, after he lost his wife, after he lost Milne, he felt to return to England for a while around, you know, 1823. And he wanted, of course, to recuperate over there, rest and come back and labor more. He brought a bunch of his collection of Chinese books back to England. Then, of course, he became quite somewhat popular over there as in speaking engagements. He traveled around the United Kingdom, England, Ireland, Scotland, France, and so on, and began to share about his mission work. And he really stirred up quite an interest in the gospel for ones to eventually in the future come back to China and do a work, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Even he was presented even at one time before the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And that king also graciously accepted a copy of his translation of the Bible. So he traveled around wherever he went. He just spoke about the burden for China, the ones being lost there. And then, of course, while he was staying there, he felt to marry again. So he was remarried. Then in 1826, he came back to China. He fell into another problem, another trial with the East India Company. And for some reason, they would not allow him to return with his children.
Right.
So, you know, he had to go back to take his children back. And he came back again to the Far East, continued his labor, stayed with the East India Company. Of course, they still didn't approve of his missionary work. And that was daily full of strains and stress. But he stayed a while to stay with some of Milne's converts that had faithfully carried on Milne's work over there. And then a number were saved, a number were baptized, a small church began to be raised up. And then some American missionaries came over there to the Far East that bolstered had helped him in his labor there. And then he just kept pressing on. It was amazing. He wrote a commentary of the Bible. He published more tracts and books. And then another problem arose, Marty. He began to be condemned and opposed by the Roman Catholics to stop his publications. It was like amazing. It was like problem after problem, yet he still went on.
He really persevered through all these difficulties. But eventually in 1834, his employment with the East India Company finally did come to an end. But he was still a useful translator, and he actually worked for a short time for the British government. But eventually he became ill, and on August 1st, 1834, this pioneer missionary, Robert Morrison, he went to be with the Lord. And the co-worker Milne was 37 and Robert Morrison was only 52. These brothers really passed on at an early age. And of course, Robert Morrison was buried there in a private cemetery beside his first wife and child. And he was survived by six children through his two wives. And it's very interesting. I think some brothers have actually visited his tomb there. And on his tomb is inscribed a little word. I thought it was very good. It said, "After a service of 27 years cheerfully spent in extending the kingdom of the Blessed Redeemer, he sweetly slept in Jesus." So it's really quite a testimony. But, you know, reading this, Bill, you have to ask, what was it that enabled Robert Morrison to keep pressing on like this, that through all the difficulties, all the persecution, criticisms, and even personal sufferings and losses that he passed through? You know, his biographers noted, and I think that we would agree, that Morrison really exercised a gracious perseverance, you know, that enabled him. He really stayed the course. He had a clear vision what his calling was, what was the purpose for his living and his service. And he really had a resolve that was really strengthened from above, from the Lord. So actually, Bill, I looked up this word perseverance in Webster. It says this is an ability to continue one's efforts to do or to achieve something despite all the difficulties, failures, or oppositions. So this was really Robert's case. You know, he encountered all these things, but he just kept pressing on. It's somewhat like Paul described in Romans 12:12. He said he rejoiced in hope, he endured in tribulation, and he persevered in prayer. And this is really what Robert Morrison did. Of course, he admitted sometimes he got tired, but you know, he said, "Yes, I'm tired in the work, but I'm not tired of it." He said, "I delight in the work." So he really had grace, and he pressed on. Of course, he was honored by those back home, eventually back in America and in Europe. They honored him with an honorary degree for his contributions to the Chinese literature as a Christian teacher. But that's not yet to say that's not really what sustained him in his daily intense labor, facing all those disappointments and even sometimes just indifference of the people. Yet to say that he was really graced in in the Beloved. And there was one key promise he always held to in Isaiah 30, verse 15. It said, "In quietness and in confidence shall your strength be." And I think that was really his testimony. So he gave himself to the work, and he had a standing there by also utilizing that other employment, but he was clear what his high calling was. And he just carried out his mission patiently, laboring, translating the Chinese Bible, and producing a lot of Christian literature and tracts, and this Chinese English dictionary, and opening up, of course, that college in Malacca. So even though he only saw a few converts in his time there, he knew that his work was really laying a good foundation for the future generations. And you'd have to say through Robert Morrison, the door to China really got cracked open. So, you know, of course, Bill, when we do these biographies, we're not here to exalt or promote man. But we are just really exalting Christ and the Lord's work in these servants. So we are so thankful to see the Lord's grace operating in someone like Robert Morrison. He's really a good pattern to us all.
Surely it's really a joy and privilege to know how the Lord could work in a man in the midst of incredible and adverse situations. It's a real testimony. Like you said, we don't exalt the man. We exalt Christ, his work in this man.
All right, Bill. Well, we'll stop here, and next time we'll go on to the begin to cover the testimony of Hudson Taylor. So we'll stop here for today.